Welcome to the Robert Scott Bell Show. If you would like to participate, you can call Robert at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL. And now, it's time to wake up! Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Today, health insurance reform is the law of the land.
The health care law was supposed to keep medical costs down, but a new report says your payments are expected to jump.
I think I made a mistake.
Robert Scott Bell.
A coalition of public health advocates targeting Ronald McDonald.
I'd love to see Ronald McDonald retired. Let's kill him off like we did Joe Camel.
Robert Scott Bell.
Side effects may include depressed mood,
thoughts of suicide,
insomnia,
suicide may occur,
diarrhea,
unusual or strange dreams,
agitation,
sexual side effects,
drowsiness, dizziness,
and nausea,
hostility,
trouble sleeping,
seizures,
serious skin reactions,
thoughts of suicide,
risk of suicide may occur.
Oh yeah, drugs. You gotta have drugs.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
You know how you listen to these drug ads, and of course they say all the things it's going to do, and then suddenly it's like, side effects include. And in the meantime, you hear, the airy fairy flowing, the music, they paint pictures that are so wonderful and love. I wish they, Don, you know, I wish they would do this for like candidates too. I'm thinking about this. Mitt Romney, side effects include. Newt Gingrich, side effects include. Of course, there would be two versions. One where they're trying to give you the happy, shiny music and people and whatever. Then the other one would be the truth in advertising, where you'd have the Hollywood soundtracks to horror movies. That's your sound. So you don't get distracted, right? And evidently, the FDA may be in agreement with us. Can you imagine that the FDA might agree with Robert Scott Bell saying, hey, can we have some realistic sound effects associated with reading the side effects, right, of these drugs? There's an ad here. This comes off of the Miami-Dade where drugs flow freely for all old people. And that means if you're over 35. Cue the puppies, how drug ads downplay health risks. Welcome to the Robert Scott Bell Show, where, by the way.
Boy, you hit the ground running this morning, didn't you,
Rob? I'm sorry. We got a little bit of passionate topic. You and I really go heavily on this every time you see these side effects or if they're using them off-label. That gets you going, Don, I know. And
you know, I just a funny story. When we first started working together years ago, this was one of the things that I thought was cool about your show, is you were talking about the side effects of drugs, talking about Big Pharma, because there is nobody out there that hasn't been annoyed when they're trying to watch their favorite TV show about all the drug ads, you know, just ad after ad after ad on all of the commercial breaks. And it's silly, some of them, where, you know, here they're talking about this drug and the imagery that they've got in the ad has nothing to do with the people swimming and going on the merry-go-round and skipping through the park.
Right.
It's crazy.
Yeah, and truth and visuals, they would have slasher fix zombies, arms falling off, right? Doritos with Olestra, the fake fat. Remember that? Stuff's leaking out of people.
I do remember that, yes.
You know, the reality is you should be forced to see and hear the realities of what happens when you're on these medicines. But right now, evidently, the FDA, and I don't know if this is a consumer-focused thing, but the U.S. Food and Drug Administration is now proposing a new rule that basically would say you can't distract the watchers of these commercials by all of these imagery that would go, wait, it's incongruous. In other words, on one hand, you're talking about people could die from your drug. On the other hand, you're showing happy families swimming in a beautiful lake, right?
Yeah.
So what if we could experiment here, right, and show how we think it – one way it's done right now, so you kind of hear how it is, and we'll give a listen to some side effects. I think you got Enbrel on tap there for
– You know, we have a special place in our heart for Enbrel. This is one of the ones for me that I thought was the most ridiculous commercial I've ever heard in my life, because the list of side effects – are horrific.
Yes.
And yet they're out here trying to sell this drug. And so, yeah, I thought, why not? Let's do a little test here on the Robert Scott Bell Show and kind of see whether this theory actually works.
All right,
where
Don,
you get, you know, the good music and the bad music and see what it sounds like.
All right, clear your throat. I want you to put on your best pharmaceutical announcer voice, okay. Don. You're going to do this for us. And we're going to have music that is more or less what we typically get out of a drug ad with the side effect segment. So you ready? 3, 2, 1, go.
Patients treated with Enbrel also may be at risk for other side effects, including nervous system problems such as multiple sclerosis, seizures, or inflammation of the nerves of the eyes, rare reports of serious blood problems, heart failure, including new heart failure or worsening of the heart failure you already have, new or worsening psoriasis, allergic reactions, immune reactions, including a lupus-like syndrome, lymphoma, and other cancers.
Gee. What did you say? That sounded pretty good. I heard immune system in there. Is that going to help me?
I don't know.
I want some of that.
How did that sound?
That sounded so uplifting.
That was kind of, it was almost like a scene from Forrest Gump or something.
Grab the kids. Let's go for a picnic.
Hey.
Enbrel in the picnic basket. All right. Well, I think that's the effect that they're going for, isn't it? I mean, you know, you really throw a wrench in your emotions, how you perceive information, and it sounds like, wow, what you said sounds really good, even though you could die from it.
Wasn't bad.
The music makes all the difference. It's kind of like a Hollywood movie with no soundtrack. You're like, what is this? And of course, the music, it purposefully draws the emotions. It tugs at you and does it. And of course, we're doing it in radio. But if you had the visuals, of course, you'd have the beautiful visuals. So here we are now with this Enbrel, the same side effects you've just read with shiny, happy music, which is the target of the FDA now saying maybe that's not a great idea. Maybe we should have a little bit more truth in soundtracks. And so I thought I would have you read it again, if you don't mind. Clear your throat. Get it ready for that pharmaceutical announcer voice. And we're going to hear the Enbrel side effects now with more of a Hollywood soundtrack that it would be more suitable to what was read and what is going to be read. Here we go. 3, 2, 1, go.
Patients treated with Enbrel also may be at risk for other serious side effects, including nervous system problems such as multiple sclerosis, seizures, or inflammation of the nerves of the eyes, rare reports of serious blood problems, some fatal, heart failure, including new heart failure or worsening of heart failure you already have, new or worsening psoriasis, allergic reactions, immune reactions, including a lupus-like syndrome, lymphoma, and other cancers.
Are you sure you did you read the same thing? That didn't sound the same.
What a difference, right?
That is so scary. Now I don't want to have anything to do with it.
Now, obviously, we're going to extremes here. There is nobody in the world of advertising that would ever put scary music like that to a commercial because they don't want to scare people away. And obviously, they're doing all of this imagery and the nice music because they're trying to sell a product, right? But it just goes to show you, and I think that worked pretty well, that the power of advertising really works. That if you're selling something, you've got to give people bad news about something. What do you do to try and lessen the impact of the truth?
Happy music. Happy images.
Puppies. People picnicking. Happy music. It's just, you know, I mean, it's obviously, I think we've proven here that it does work.
Don, I'm going to have to go back and re-listen to that. I'm thinking you read different words the second time. Because it's, I mean, you read the same script, but it sounded so horrific suddenly.
And that was just with music. There was no imagery there.
Yeah, exactly.
So when you throw in the imagery, you know, obviously it's, you know, the floating butterfly of Lunesta does make a difference.
How powerful is that? I mean, and this is the thing where I said, maybe we can come up with side effects for political ads. I think that would be fun one time. They said, we Barack Obama comes with gastrointestinal distress. You know, Newt Gingrich comes with, well, we are going to provide you with kosher food to all of my Jewish friends in Florida. And, of course, there is that. Hey, by the way, Florida, it's the big, what do you call that, election today?
Today is the primary day in Florida. This is the moment of truth to
all
see whether,
or nothing, right?
We obviously know Ron Paul's not going to win the primary, but actually very interesting article. I don't think we'll have time to cover this today. Maybe we can talk about it tomorrow, but I saw an article where, do you know that in this next week, Ron Paul is most likely going to win more delegates than Santorum and Gingrich?
Combined, yeah. In fact, yeah. I have that story linked up in today's show news notes. I appreciate the heads up on that because here we have a strategy. And that's why, by the way, we have Jack Hunter. Jack Hunter, the Southern Avengers, coming back onto the Robert Scott Bell Show a little later today. And we're going to talk about that strategy. He is the official campaign blogger for Ron Paul for president. It's going to be awesome. The inside information we are going to reveal today on the show. And in fact, yes, the strategy is, listen, if it's an all or nothing state and you don't have $20 million to spend on ads like Mitt Romney does in Florida, what's the point, right? He's got his loyal followers here in Florida. They're going to do some great, great stuff despite it. Some super PAC ads as well. And in fact, you know, interestingly enough, this morning after boxing, had a guy come out and said, hey, who's the guy over there parked in front of my door? And it was a regular parking spot, but the guy had to load some stuff in and out of business next to where I go to the boxing fitness. And I started talking with him. What do you do? He says, hey, look, I do closeouts. You know, companies go out of business and they declare bankruptcy. I get their stuff and I move it through. I resell. I said, boy, business must be booming for you. And it's a Hispanic guy in South Florida. And he says, yeah, it is. And it's really upsetting me. And I thought, wow, what is that? You know, it should be good for your business. He says, yes, but I see the disastrous economy and I see the chaos that is about to, continue to get worse if we don't do something differently. And he said it to me. He says, listen, I'm a Republican, and we got to change something here. And so I was like, oh, I wonder where this is going. He did mention Romney, and I said, oh, by the way, do you know Romney is supported by the same money, big money, if you will, of Goldman Sachs, Credit Suisse, that Obama is? And it's not going to change much under Romney, even though the rhetoric's different? He said, yeah, I know. I said, that's why I'm all about Ron Paul. And he lit up. He lit up. His eyes got big. He said, yes, Ron Paul. We got to get behind Ron Paul. And I thought, how cool is that? I don't know if he was a closeted Ron Paul supporter. He was afraid to come out and tell me. But once I mentioned it, he was so excited. And that's, you know, the Hispanic that they've been saying that they've got a lot of support among this Hispanic community in South Florida. There was evidence of it just out of the blue this morning.
Wow, interesting. And I think that you will see that, where there are a lot of people that are almost afraid to say that they support Ron Paul because they're afraid of being criticized, because that's just the way that the media has tried to portray Ron Paul. And well, I think you made a friend, Robert.
As we talk about
very cool.
Operation Grandma, you know, for the older folks, I mean, like I said, just get out there, be willing to speak out, and you'll be surprised by what's happening. Listen, we got a great show, as always, today on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Coming up next, I've got a good friend coming back, Darren Craig from Inner Food. We're going to talk about some weight loss issues, the organic issues that are so near and dear to our hearts here, detoxification, skin, bowel function. And then I've got some updates from SaneVax, a big article about the HPV shot coming out through Natural News. We'll reference that, see what else is coming up. And, of course, Jack Hunter, the Southern Avenger, is going to join us from the Ron Paul campaign a little later. So stay with us, 866-939-BELL. Your questions and comments, always welcome. And, of course, robertscottbell.com for all the news that you will not get anywhere else in ways that you will not get anywhere else as well. Thank you, Super Don, for kicking it off today. We'll be right back with Darren Craddock from Inner Food on the Robert Scott Bell Show.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls-Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver, bioactive silver hydrosol, is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Taste tastes like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit SovereignSilver.com.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom. Here's Robert.
Wrapping up the January edition of the Robert Scott Bell Show, and my, oh my, where has the month gone? It's 2012. It's almost 2013. The end of the world is nigh. No, it's not. We got a lot of good things happening here, and of course, one of the great things happening here is Enerfood, and my good friend Darren Craddock is back to talk food and food freedom and all kinds of great stuff on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Darren, welcome back, my friend.
Thank you, Robert, for having me on the show. Isn't there such a lot going on these days?
Wow, how fast could it be? We're approaching the one-year anniversary since we launched the show on Natural News Radio. It's amazing to me. And all the wonderful people that we've been able to connect with, you included especially, in bringing good quality food, nutrition, the tools of, if we will, of health freedom, of restoring health sovereignty. And I appreciate you so much, and I'm always glad when we can get together.
Me too, Robert. Yeah, and really ultimately, restoring health to as many people as humanly possible really starts with educating.
Yeah, well, the education is something that flows freely here, as well on your show. We'll let everybody know about that if anybody hasn't caught it yet. But you sent me a link from the Organic Consumers Association. I thought this was very important. We needed to get the attention of everybody on this. It's titled this way, "The Organic Elite Surrenders to Monsanto. What now?" Now, to me, to put the word organic and elite together is kind of a – I would love it to be an oxymoron. I guess it is, sort of. But what do you mean elite organic people? I mean, isn't that salt of the earth, people growing in their backyard? Now, I guess it's become multi-billion dollar multinational industries.
It is a multi-billion dollar multinational industry. There is, you know, there are multiple aspects. I mean, I think many people like to simplify debates, and yet the reality is often a little bit more complex if one wants to look a little further. There is the organic growing community, and even in that organic growing community, you have various different levels of playing, so to speak. You know, there are the big players mm-hmm. who will grow one crop, will monocrop a huge tract of land, say, you know, multiple hundreds or thousands of acres growing just carrots.
Mm-hmm.
And that same group may, for example, deplete the water table. They may be using organic methods. But I think it's very important to understand that a truly sustainable, and I know that's an interesting word that we could debate for a long time, but that a truly sustainable agricultural operation that is operating on organic principles really needs to be sustainable on every level, meaning having the minimum number of inputs from wherever their inputs are coming from, and that also having the least effect on the environment around it. So if you're pumping the water table dry to grow carrots without, say, for example, using any pesticides or fertilizers that are chemicals, so you can class as being organic, you're not being friendly to the organic environment by pumping all the water dry. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that's one side of the thing. But back to the story, we talk about the organic elite. You've got the growers and multiple echelons within the growing families, but you've also got the marketers and the mainstream stores. Whole Foods being a big one, you've got big multinational players such as Organic Valley, Stonyfield Farm, and others. For example, Horizon was bought out by Dean Foods. Dean Foods, I think, equates for something like 70% of what they call the white milk sold on the store shelf in this country. They have been kind of playing with the USDA and Monsanto and others over the last couple of years, trying to come to some kind of agreement rather than just attacking Monsanto. And this article written by Ronnie Cummins of the Organic Consumers Association, which incidentally to all the listeners out there is a great resource for being up to date on what's going on in organics. Basically, Whole Foods has turned around, and I reported on this last year in my blog at survivetothrive.net.
Yes.
But they basically given the green light to USDA bureaucrats to approve what they consider conditional deregulation of Monsanto's genetically engineered herbicide-resistant alfalfa. Well, why is this important? Well, alfalfa is a crop that is pretty much fed to most of our animals that are creating organic animal-based products, be it meat, be it dairy, be it cheese, of any kind of dairy food, let's say, for example. And it means that they would basically allow, it looks like they would allow GE alfalfa, genetically engineered alfalfa, to be basically given the deregulation green light. The problem with alfalfa is that it spreads very quickly, and the contamination of organic alfalfa would be almost a given.
Well, we talk about the issue of genetic drift, as they say.
Exactly.
This is what we call classic unintended consequences, whether it be in political foreign policy between nations or whether it be in this multinational, let's say, groups or companies that seemingly are looking to patent nature. And it is uncontainable. And we bring up things like Michael Crichton's novel related to the whole Jurassic Park. And you see these things coming fictionalized, yes, but coming to real life in the context of a Monsanto.
It's pretty much of a topic for concern, I think, because genetically engineered foods, genetically engineered products of any kind really are a potential time bomb. And I say a potential time bomb, they're already a time bomb. And Robert, you and I have spoken many times before about the dramatic increase in digestive troubles in our nation.
Yes.
And I really believe that GE crops are one of the biggest reasons why we've had such a huge escalation of this issue.
Yeah, it's a very good point to bring up, and I don't want to gloss over all of the other toxins that we recognize, but this is the new frontier, so to speak, the dangerous and frightening unknown frontier of what these GE contaminant-type crops are doing to our gastrointestinal flora, to the lining, all the things that we talk about here, and there's so little study done on it. What has been done, of course, our friend Jeffrey Smith has done a lot to spotlight it here, but to have Whole Foods, as it says in the story, to basically acquiesce and say, well, listen, that's just what we're going to have to deal with now. I mean, that's a great disappointment, although not surprising. I mean, some of the things we covered with Whole Foods last year was the fact that some of their pink ribbon campaigns and such, the Going Pink or Shopping Pink, were really supportive of basically big pharmaceutical ways to address cancer.
Well, I mean, not just big pharmaceutical ways, but also we're on, of course, flying around some very important topics, and I love this conversation because it's just so indicative of where we need to be in our mindset to really understand what's going on. There are so many issues, but they all interrelate. The whole cancer debate is a really, really big one. The cure for cancer has been around for eons.
Yes.
And yet, the Pink Ribbon campaign would have you believe that these noble forces are out there seeking to find the cure for cancer in pharmaceuticals. It doesn't work. It really doesn't. Lifestyle is so important. Diet is so important. But genetically engineered foods create inflammation in all of our major organs. Inflammation is the precursor to cancer, bottom line.
Yes, and that inflammation being caused by so many of the, let's say, the result or the result of the abandonment of the natural world, all of the things that would, in a normal context, be eaten, processed, excreted, the utilization of the nutrients absorbed, all of these things that were happening for thousands of years of history on this earth, suddenly corrupted by the arrogance of man,
which again is why, you know, I love what you're doing, Darren, and trying to get those things back into the, you know, the hands, the families, the mouths, the babes, so to speak, so we can, if there's a way to recover our sanity, nutritional and health sanity, it's going to have to be through going back to those foods.
We really literally need to turn our minds in a direction that causes us to make choices that favor improvement in our health rather than the detriment to our health. Because if, and we've reported about this, I mean, for some people, this is a no-brainer. For others, this is a new frontier. If you have grown up, and many of us have, to believe that reward in the form of food equates to what's kind of basically out there as the mainstream servings, as what they would provide to us in the way of food, as what appeals to us from a marketing standpoint and from a emotional standpoint, as being something attractive that satisfies us. Well, very often, it's what we were told not to eat as kids, but yet we were given occasionally as treats.
Right. It was
unfortunately, the whole treat situation, when we enjoy perhaps a slightly larger pocketbook than perhaps our parents and grandparents did, and we think, oh, well, I don't feel real good today. I'm going to buy myself something to make me feel better. Well, if that something to make you feel better is actually making you feel better for a few seconds on a psychological, emotional level, but in the long term and even fairly short term is actually causing damage to your body, then it's time to look in a different direction.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Well, we've got the great disappointment of now the fast food restaurants are stopping the pink slime that we love so much that was added to their ground beef. McDonald's earlier this week said it. Taco Bell, Burger King said, oh, well, yeah, we were using it for all these years, but now that we've been found out, we're just going to remove it. I mean, you know, this is an amazing thing. I remember that Food Revolution and Naked Chef star Jamie Oliver made public his calls for these changes to avoid this sort of like excess beef trimmings that they couldn't do anything with, and they add ammonium hydroxide to it, turn it into a pink goo, and add it to the burgers out there. I mean, what were we expecting was going to happen?
Right, and they'd use that same goo to actually, you know, basically, for want of a better word, although it's kind of a nice play on words, to beef up meat cuts that weren't particularly meaty.
Yeah. Amazing. Amazing.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's astonishing, really, what they'll do. But, you know, I think if you'll check out organicconsumers.org, they actually have this article there. I've posted it on survivetothrive.now. Robert will probably be posting it too.
Yeah, we'll have all the links up today, show notes. Absolutely.
Right. And I think there is a call to action at the bottom of the article, asking people to basically request the truth in labeling. It's a petition, but there's also many actions going on right now to try and call Monsanto to acquiesce to the demands of the public to agree to GM labeling.
Mm-hmm.
The interesting thing is that if GMOs were labeled, and I think Monsanto, Syngenta, and others know this, that were GMOs to be labeled, people would stop buying them or would buy them a lot less, would start, you know, eliminating them gradually from their foods. And as this happened in Europe, as Jeffrey Smith has reported, within 2 weeks, I believe it was, of the information coming clear in the early 90s, the big companies like Kraft and others had actually pulled GM ingredients out of all of their products within 2 weeks.
Right.
So it can be done here. It's a lot more entrenched here because
well, I will speak for my dunderheaded American compatriots or compadres, and that we were completely unconscious that food actually mattered. And it wasn't part of our culture. We were new and we were manipulated in the 20th century to disconnect from food and health. And so that was made possible where the Europeans have a longer tradition in appreciating the food as it's been grown for thousands of years. We didn't have that long tradition. And so in that context, we were duped, much easier duped.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, I think there's perhaps a closer you know, when we say proximity as far as time goes, there's a much closer relationship, I think, in Europe to the agricultural sector than there is here. I mean, the vast majority of our agricultural tradition was pretty much decimated around the time of the Great Depression. In Europe, a lot of families still had connections to the farm back into the early 70s. So I think there's a historical precedent that was set there that made it easier to manipulate people here in the United States. And I think that was done even more after the Second World War. But of course, there's an economic precedent was set, the Great Depression. I think there was a lot of manipulation went on there that led to certain big interests coming in and buying up huge numbers of family farms for pennies on the dollar.
Yes.
And there's a history to that, too, that I think is important to be aware of.
And it's been repeating on top of the chemical munitions that were converted into fertilizers, which necessitated the petrochemicals to address the pests that were eating the unhealthy plants grown on unhealthy soil. So when we come back from this break, we'll talk more with Darren Craddock from Enterfood.com. The links are up in the show notes today, as well as a nice big banner. You can see it right there at the front page of robertscottbell.com. Darren's going to hang out with me. There's a few news stories I want him to comment on relating to food and even weight loss. Imagine your doctor. He's very big, so big. He's overweight. He's the guy that's going to help you lose weight. You think? We'll talk about that as well. The Robert Scott Bell Show continues. If you have any questions or comments, 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355. We'll be right back with more of Darren Craddock.
Since the 1920s, people around the world have been using radio frequencies to safeguard the health of themselves and their families. Through this tested technology, pioneered by Royal Raymond Rife, researchers have found that specific radio frequencies can eliminate viruses, bacteria, molds, and parasites without harming normal healthy cells. Frequency technology could help millions now suffering from various infections, even arthritis, herpes, Lyme disease, and other painful chronic conditions. The BCX Ultra Frequency Instrument has been developed over a period of 30 years. The BCX Ultra is one of the most powerful healing tools ever. Turn ill health around. Enjoy life again. Start learning about the BCX Ultra today. Visit bioelectricsforhealth.com or call 1-800-936-6240. That's 1-800-936-6240. Call today and start the healing.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver Bioactive Silver Hydrosol is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
Hey there, this is Mike. Got a couple of things you may want to check out. Did you know about the website counterthink.com? These are some really hilarious, freedom-oriented, health-oriented, even political cartoons that you got to check out. counterthink.com. And if you want to know what's in your food, go check out foodinvestigations.com, where you've got a bunch of free mini documentaries, little videos there that you can watch that will show you what's in your food and what's not in your food. We talk about Total Blueberry Pomegranate Cereal made by General Mills. Did you know it has no blueberries in it and no pomegranates? We got the video right there on foodinvestigations.com. And if you really want to know what's in your food, your medicine, your personal care products, and so on, head over to naturalnews.com. We're publishing about 12 articles a day now, everything from healing superfoods to the dangerous chemicals in your products, foods, and medicines. naturalnews.com. Check it out.
information is so good, it requires no expiration date. The Robert Scott Bell Show.
From pink goo that is no longer part, well, actually, that's never been part of the Robert Scott Bell Show, but the fast food lineage, the history, Darren hinted at it because I even admitted on yesterday's show that I grew up on some of these foods, which I've mentioned, but I specifically because of the Paula Deen thing with this celebrity chef that became diabetic. She was all about high fat, high sugar, and it wasn't the fat except for the quality of fat that was the problem, what was in that fat, but the high sugar, which is refined carbohydrates, lacking minerals, lacking chromium, etc. Now they're removing pink goo. We're talking GMOs and everything, calorie counting. Interestingly enough, there's a story, and I think I sent that to you, Darren. We're on with Darren Craddock, by the way, Enterfood, my good friend Enterfood. Calories count, but source doesn't matter. This is a study trying to convince everybody that it doesn't matter the quality of the food you eat. It only matters that we count the calories, which is the energy you can burn, not impacting or negating completely the interaction of our body, our metabolism, with the kind of food, the quality of food, whether it's toxic or not. I mean, it's amazing what they're trying to get away with here.
It really is. And I think I read that article, briefly skimmed through it when you sent it to me. And, you know, calories are a very interesting subject. People have been so brainwashed into believing that calories are key, and they are important, but it's really more the quality of the calories that are important. And I say to people, don't count calories, make the calories count.
Nice.
And that's just something I came up with and posted something on Survive, the number 2thrive.net. I think it was beginning of last week. But the calories that you consume need to be calories that actually bring you nutrition rather than calories that are empty, because we can consume empty calories all day long. In fact, the vast majority of our population does that. Mm-hmm. They're consuming stuff that gives them very little in the way of nutrition, and then they wonder why they put on weight. Hmm. Well, your body naturally has the innate intelligence to say, okay, I need nutrition. So what should I do about it? Well, I better eat. And then they compete. You know, most people will eat garbage, frankly, that has very little nutritional value. And a couple of hours go by, and well, going to eat again. Because innately the body knows it should be gaining its nutrition from what it ingests. The problem is if you continue to give the body empty calories rather than nutritionally dense calories, weight gain is almost predetermined.
Yes. Inevitable. If we think about it in terms of a toxic burden, how long can you throw toxic poisons like a dumping ground into the body? How long can the body basically bind it in a desperate attempt to protect you and dump it, right? At a certain mm-hmm. point, it loses that ability, and of course it will start throwing it into the fat cells, for instance, and that necessitates an excess amount of water and fat to be retained and grown. Now, some body types will acknowledge that lend themselves to being lean may suffer earlier because they don't have that adaptive capacity. And that means that they could suffer from cancers or other diseases earlier on. And, you know, then the traditional medical professional will say, well, what happened to them? They weren't overweight. They weren't fat. What happened to them? And they have no idea about these body adaptations, much like Hans Selye talked about so many generations ago now. We learned about it in school, right? The adaptation syndrome.
Right. And our body will always try to adapt to what we provide it. The calories have to be nutritionally dense and clean calories without toxins or the minimum amount of toxins. See, one of the things we're dealing with today, and I'm hoping in a couple of weeks I'm going to have a Dr. Mark Schaus on my show to discuss this. He's an expert in toxicity, mm-hmm. Who I saw speak just recently. Basically, we were talking at this conference and listening to him and just discussing this whole concept of toxicity, because you think, well, what's toxicity got to do with calories? Well, highly processed foods tend to have a lot more heavy metals in them, tend to have a lot more chemical toxins that are used in the processing
right.
that are permitted by our FDA and USDA, by the way.
Unbelievable.
And we wonder, well, why do we get fat? It's not just we're not getting the nutrition from our food and we're continually eating more. It's also, as Robert was mentioning before, the toxicity that is in the processed food. then our body then has to either dilute or encapsulate in fat so that it can deal with it in as and when it can, which if we continue throwing garbage at ourselves and we get slime day in, day out, the layers grow, the layers basically build up to a point where it's really hard for us to do anything about it. And most of these toxins are either heavy metals or petrochemical based.
Well, so, yes, that's right. And thinking about that, we think that the only responsible way to, if you're really on a genuine so-called weight loss program, and I don't tend to like that. I like the thought of let's just eat healthier and watch what happens, which is that the loss of the weight that you want to lose will just happen naturally as a byproduct of doing the right thing. But let me just say this, and you probably would concur, Darren, that if you are on a program to lose weight and you're not simultaneously doing things to support liver, kidney, lymph, excretion, detoxification, you're going about it in perhaps even a dangerous way.
That's very true, because toxins are fairly hard on the system when you excrete them. And that's why it's important to actually address detoxification in a measured manner so that you don't overburden the system as you're detoxing. I think personally, one of the easiest ways to start is to just turn your diet around. Have a much less toxic diet initially, well, long term actually, but especially when you're working on detoxing.
Yes.
Don't go and, I mean, and this may seem kind of counterintuitive coming from somebody like me because I actually create detox products, but I recommend to people, first of all, clean up your diet, drink more water, and maybe take something to encourage your bowels to be functioning properly, because, you know, we have several detox organs in the body, the bowel being the main one, the skin's another one. Incidentally, if you have rashes on your skin and you have a tendency to break out, your skin is trying to push toxins out because the body is not able to get it out through the other detox organs. So the key is to get all of your detox organs working optimally. The bowel is very, very important. Yes. Many people come to me and they'll say, well, you know, I'm having normal bowel movements. I say, well, how many a day is that? They'll say, well, once every couple of days. And I say to them, well, no, that's not normal. I say, well, who told you that was normal? They say, well, my doctor said as long as I'm going two or three times a week, that's fine. We should be going once for every major meal we consume. And if we're not, well, we need to change something so that that will happen again. And that really means increasing our water intake. If you're not well hydrated, you won't have normal bowel movements.
And remember, if you are going more than once a day, it's going to make your doctor look bad.
Yes. But it's interesting. It's a topic that people don't want to talk about.
Be nice to your doctor.
I studied the work of multiple naturopaths over the year and have trained under many different naturopaths too.
Yes.
And one guy who's had a great effect on the natural world as far as, you know, improving people's education on natural topics and especially bowel movements is Dr. Schultz.
Yes.
Who's a great guy, really done great things for the world of natural healing. And he actually has been called the poop doctor before. And it's literally, you know, kind of a humorous way of looking at it. But the fact is, we need to be able to talk about that subject. It's a subject that we're told not to talk about right from kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it's one of the most important topics to allow us to understand how to stay healthy.
Yes.
If you're not pooping properly, you will not be healthy. Bottom line.
Yeah, and a very well taken bottom line there.
And that was not even intentional.
I could see that coming. Hey, Darren, also, you know, as I say, joking about the whole doctor-patient so-called relationship, if your doctor doesn't understand these basic things, please find another doctor. For goodness sake, you're doing yourself a great disservice, much like this other story that we're talking about today about fat doctors are less likely to help patients lose weight. Now, that seems like it's, you know, what I would call almost a moment of duh on the show. But yeah, if you're going to go to a doctor that's very overweight and you're saying, hey, doc, can you help me lose weight? It's like, maybe not the greatest choice that you've ever made. But look at also from the context of what we've been saying together here, Darren, you and I, about toxins as opposed to calories. Because many doctors and American Dietetics Association, not nutritionists, are called dietitians, still are under the false impression that it's only about calories. All you need to do is starve yourself and take artificial sweeteners instead of a regular sugar. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that still parades as knowledge in the medical realm.
Right. And there is great debate out there. And there's people coming back and countering information that's posted in as far as, you know, artificial sweeteners being bad for health. And yet the reality of it is, since the advent of artificial sweeteners in sodas, people who consume large amounts of NutraSweets blend and other natural sweeteners are putting weight on, not taking it off.
That's right.
Very important. You know, the evidence seems to point in to our camp as being the camp that's on the right track.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. Where the rest of them are lost in the woods, are going to get eaten
Aren't
by a grizzly bear.
You know, talking about gut health and just staying really healthy, I have the head of gastroenterology from the Southwest College of Naturopathic Medicine coming on to the show next Monday evening.
Oh, that'll be interesting.
February the 6th, if I'm correct. To talk about gut health. So that's something to look forward to, folks, because this lady really knows her stuff and is teaching many other docs about that whole issue. I mean, really, our gut is so key to our long-term and short-term health, and so many people out there are suffering from gut problems, you know, and the diet that most people, this empty diet that's mm-hmm. full of refined carbohydrates and sugars, is really not doing us any favors in that regard.
Well, Darren, let's talk about some of the things they can get from Inner Food here, because I always like to leave some practical tips, some things people can try or access that can help deal with gut, liver, other things, because in addition to the superfoods that you have and all the wonderful things, including the food storage we've talked about, there's some very practical things that you can integrate on a daily basis, whether it be food or medicinal herbs, for instance.
Yes, that's very true. I mean, the Inner Food product, for example, has the ability to help gently detox your colon and your kidneys in a safe manner, at the same time as nourishing your body and binding heavy metal toxins. So it's a multi-approach product that really improves health. And incidentally, it was chosen as the best green superfood by the Southwest College of Naturopathic Medicine last summer. So we were very overjoyed to find that out. Completely unbiased third-party decision to take on the Inner Food as their top green superfood. For the Southwest College of Naturopathic Medicine that trains doctors around the country on the natural approach to healing. Of course, at Inner Health Botanicals, we have a whole range of herbal tinctures specifically designed to help improve your health. Some of them are designed to improve with problems like the pooping.
Yes.
We have a product called Lax Elixir that is a gentle herbal stimulant to help the bowels work better. I also came up with a new product called Digestes, which actually helps improve digestion from the mouth all the way through to the colon. So that's a really important one to, I think, get in your medicine cabinet. In addition to a whole range of others, 120 single herbs, 40 different blends, and really, you know, incredibly great organic food storage product called the Survive to Thrive Preparedness Pail. So
yeah, you mentioned
there are many things there that can really help you get healthy.
You mentioned the number 40, and I was thinking about the 40 days, 40 nights concept. So I'll let everybody else know, and we'll wrap up here, in addition to the daily practical things as far as food storage preparation, and these are things that, you know, we should do, we're responsible to do at any point in our lives, especially if you have children. How would we access that? What would we ask for? Also, I want to get a toll-free number for those that love to just pick up a phone. There's still those people, too.
Right, absolutely. The toll-free number is 866-762-9238, 866-762-9238, or go to enerfood.com. That's E-N-E-R, F like Frank, O-O-D like dog.com. And there you'll find all different specials. You can also go to Robert's page, and there's a banner there that you can click through to get special deals and special discounts that we only give to Robert's listeners.
Well, I appreciate you offering that for my listener. I really do. And especially, like I said, that 40-day, 40-night kind of concept is so simple. People understand it. It's sort of in their DNA in the Western culture that we live in. So I was thinking in terms of that, I'd love for everybody to have that on hand at the very least.
Right. And in fact, we have a few of those Survive to Thrive preparedness pail, 40-day, 40-night preparedness pail left. The price will be going up very shortly because our ingredient costs have gone up dramatically. So for those of you who want to get it now, get it quick before the price goes up, really encourage you to do that. And also for those of you who want to check out the radio show next week with Dr. Mona Morstein of Southwest College, you can go to survive2thrive.net and click on the Listen Live button next Monday, 6 p.m. Central.
Excellent. And I have all of those linked up. Darren, I appreciate you so much and all of the family and crew there at Interfood. Great support for the Robert Scott Bell Show and the listeners here. Please take advantage of that 40-day, 40-night preparedness pail because, as he said, the price is going up soon. So jump on it. That's what we're all doing here. And again, Darren, always appreciate you coming on board.
Thank you so much for having me on, Robert. It's always a pleasure, too, for me.
Absolutely. Remember, next hour we'll be joined by Jack Hunter of the Southern Avenger, getting the inside scoop on the Ron Paul campaign for the presidency. Lots of back behind-the-scenes stuff you don't get to hear in the old media. You'll hear it here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. We'll be back to wrap up the first hour. After this, say thanks to the wonderful sponsors that make this message of health freedom possible.
Hold that shrimp on the Barbie until you find out about Papaya 35 Multiply Plus, direct from Australia. All-natural, GMO-free Papaya 35 Multiply Plus is made from fermented papaya and pomegranate, rich in natural probiotics, digestive enzymes, and antioxidants. Now get this spectacular product to boost your natural killer cells to help your immune system and improve your digestion at the same time. So now you can have your shrimp on the Barbie, feel better, and if you act now, get a great down-under price and free shipping on each product that you order. Don't wait. Go to onestophealthshop.com and order now. That's one-stop-health-shop.com. Get that great down-under price and free shipping right now at one-stop-health-shop.com. That's one-stop-health-shop.com.
Hi, this is Robert Scott Bell, and I want to tell you about my great friends at Interfood.com. Like me, the folks at Interfood are fighting the good fight for your total health freedom. Their super green energy drink, Interfood, is full of natural ingredients like spirulina and chlorella, which can improve your immune system and detox you from harmful radiation. Interfood was voted best superfood by Mike Adams and the Southwest College of Naturopathic Medicine. Interfood.com is one-stop shopping for all your health and survival needs. Try their meal replacement product for those watching their weight. Organic immune support coffee, cocoa, coconut milk powder, and herbal tinctures for your every need. Interfood.com now has developed a new survival preparedness pail packed with all organic, tasty, non-GMO foods to get you and your family through any disaster. All of these great products are now available to you for a 10% discount when you mention the Robert Scott Bell Show. Call them to order at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. Or go to our product page at Interfood.com. That's Enerfood.com.
Making sense out of medical propaganda. Here's Robert.
Hava, Nagila, Hava, Nagila, Hava. Hey, what are we doing here? We got a little a Jewish action happening.
Oh, I know you're a big Neil Diamond fan, so I couldn't resist. But, you know, Robert, this is Newt Gingrich's new campaign song.
Wait a second. Newt Gingrich, we don't even know if he claims to be religious, but he's into multiple marriages. I thought, if anything, he would be the early years of the LDS Church. Why Hava, Nagila? Why a little
Jewish?
Well,
you know, actually, Gingrich was using Eye of the Tiger from Rocky.
Yeah.
And he's actually being sued by the guy that wrote that song for using that song for his campaign.
So he switched over to an old Jewish song?
He's gone to Hava Nagila. And I think it's appropriate because have you seen the latest attack that Gingrich is using to go after Romney?
Oh, yes, I saw. You know how it is? Gingrich, the conservative who says, well, we need to cut government, but I'm willing to spend whatever it takes. He criticized. This is a great story. Thank you for finding this. Great story. Newt Gingrich is criticizing Mitt Romney for not supporting the kosher community back in, what was the state he was governor of? Massachusetts, right?
Yes.
2003, he vetoed a bill that would have supplied $600,000 in additional funds to poor Jewish nursing homes residents so that they can get kosher meals.
Yeah, so apparently Mitt Romney doesn't like old Jewish people, according to Gingrich.
Yeah, but what is the role of government, Newt? Come on, it's to supply kosher meals to old Jews. Can't we do Jewish charities to do that? You want to help somebody? Do we need to steal from the taxpayers of any state of the nation to say, hey, we got to provide some kosher meals for you?
Yes. I mean, that's now, is it a coincidence that this is the most Jewish of swing states that we're talking about here? No. You know, this is just pandering by Gingrich to try and get the Jewish vote in Florida. And in my opinion, this is just an example of how bad Gingrich's campaign, the shape that it's in, when he's resorting to have to try and turn, Jewish people against Romney. Because he vetoed these funds, you know, and it turns out that according to Romney's aide, this veto was one of hundreds that had to be made during a fiscal crisis, and it was subsequently restored. Now, I'm not defending Romney. I don't want Romney to win.
Yeah,
you know, but still,
you've got to
call it, you know, like it is. And this is just ridiculous.
For
Gingrich to suddenly become the Jewish crusader.
Interesting, but you know, I don't know if there are more Jewish people or more Hispanic people in Florida. I mean, he could always rework it if this doesn't work for him, and he could do like Hava tequila, you know, do something. Come on. What are we going to – I mean, this is desperate times for Newt Gingrich. So we're trying to – not trying to help him out. Anyway, hey, another story here from SaneVax. The gals at SaneVax, I love them. They published an open letter. Now it's on Natural News. I've got the link up. SaneVax open letter to educators worldwide. Watch for side effects of HPV vaccines. And in addition, I think that they've sent a letter officially to the FDA and the Sebelius, Health and Human Services Secretary, about the approval of the HPV shot Gardasil, and they're going after it as well as Cervarix because they're saying the evidence for efficacy just ain't there. We'll see if we can get one of the SaneVax gals on tomorrow if it's at all possible. But here, listen to this. If you know of anybody that's subjecting their children, their daughters, or sons at this point to the HPV shot, look out for difficulty of breathing, shortness of breath, wheezing, they call it bronchospasms, hives or rash. Hives and rash. Oh, I'm going to have to tell you a story coming back after the break about hives and rash and herbs and side effects and things because, this ties in beautifully to the whole side effect story when we talk about herbs. But in addition to these symptoms that I've already mentioned, there are more joint leg, chest pain, unusual tiredness, weakness, lethargy, brain fog, confusion, chills, general feelings of unwellness, aching muscles and or muscle weakness. Heck, we could have done this to horrible music, Don.
I was just going to say, it sounds like you're doing
I am. Difficulty keeping food down, vomiting or stomach aches, seizures, shortness of breath, chest pain, bad stomach pain, skin infection, bleeding or bruising more easily than normal. Come on, get your kids that HPV shot. You'll get all of this and more. No extra charge. Now, and that's not a comprehensive list. I mean, that's taken directly from the HPV patient product information inserts. And a lot of young gals, and you read this story, have more severe side effects than this, which are honestly direct effects of the vaccine that they don't want you to know about. So give a look at this. Spread the word out to the ladies, to the men, to the boys, to the girls, to the moms, the grandpas, everybody about the dangers of Gardasil and more, and so we can really bring about the healing that is necessary here. So kudos to the SaneVax gals. We'll see if we can get some of them on tomorrow or somebody. Norma, maybe. Who knows? We'll see, because there's more information about the letter to the FDA that I would like to reveal, and I don't have time to do today. So, hey, thanks again for Darren for being on board today. 866-762-9238. If you want a special deal, you will mention the Robert Scott Bell Show. They'll get you covered, as well as the link at robertscottbell.com. Check it out there. Next hour, Jack Hunter, the Southern Avenger, is going to be with us. We've also got some more information on Virginia legislation. All of my listeners in Virginia, pay attention. And I've got those linked up at the blog at robertscottbell.com. Your questions, comments, always glad to hear from you. Thank you, Super Don. Take a breather. We're coming right back after this, because the power to heal
is yours.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Scott Bell Show.
Is there a risk that the United States could lose its AAA credit rating, yes or no?
No risk of that.
No risk.
No risk.
This guy's been stoned since the third grade.
Robert Scott Bell.
I have a message. A message that is loud and clear and does not mince words. We've come to take our government back.
Robert Scott
Robert
Bell.
Scott Bell.
This is not an issue of credit rating. The United States can pay any debt it has because we can always print money to do that.
What's going on here? Can you explain this one to me?
He's kind of gone crazy.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
This hour on the Robert Scott Bell Show, we've got Jack Hunter, the Southern Avenger, coming up, giving us an update on the Ron Paul presidential run from the inside at Insider's U. Looking forward to that for sure. But first, last hour, we talked about some side effects. We made a little bit of fun about the, airy-fairy music around side effects. And, of course, when you have side effects to a drug, it can be terminal celestial dirt now, as I've heard it said. However, with herbs, by and large, no, that's not happening. You're going to get a little bit annoyed by what happens. And I had a story to share. I do. Very recent. In fact, current. Friend of mine who presented me with, oh, my gosh, I've got welts on my arm, my back, my butt, let's be candid here, and my forehead, everywhere. Looked like, was it hives? Was it a shingles case? Was it poison ivy? No, we were going through all of these things, ruling in, ruling out things, and assessing what would be having, maybe an exposure of some kind. Could it be just a general detox cleanse? Because this person's not one to eat toxic stuff or can be very sensitive about things. But she said, no, it's none of those things that I'm aware of. I haven't eaten anything bad. But I did try a new supplement recently because I was dealing with inflammation. I said, okay, let me look at it. How are you taking it? Well, I was really wanting to deal with this inflammation. So it said 2 a day, but I was taking 6 a day. For how long? Well, about 2 weeks. So I said, all right, give me that little bottle there. Let's see what's in this thing. Immediately, my eyes went right to urtica, which is the Latin name basically for the stinging nettle. I said, we figured it out. We didn't need rocket scientists to involve ourselves here. You have basically proved a remedy. You have proved urtica. Urtica angustifolia, urtica urens, any different form of urtica, the stinging nettle, very commonly known for thousands of years. If it's in Latin, they knew about the urtica. Because have you ever heard of urticaria? It's a fancy way of saying you have hives or some kind of, blister, some kind of thing that's coming out. And this person was itching like crazy. It matched the symptom picture of urtica. If you open up a homeopathic Materia Medica, you will see urtica and you will see all the things that I was witnessing in this person, friend of mine, that was dealing with, especially with the skin. Itching, blotches, urticaria, of course, a burning heat with, violent itching. Suppressed nettle. I mean, this is basically exactly what this person was dealing with. Erythema. I mean, it was so classic. It was like, okay, we don't have to go any further. So what was the next step to do? Well, for me, as a homeopath, I went and got the urtica. In fact, there are forms of, let's say, remedies for eczema and poison ivy that carry urtica as one of the main ingredients. And you begin to counteract it while you also flush the liver. You absolutely increase the detox. Some people can tolerate a niacin flush in this case, but some are so upset because of what's happening to the skin, it might be too much to bear. So I'll let that for you to be the decision if you are ever in this situation. But here, you know, the upside is there is no nothing remotely more than an annoying rash, which is right. It's annoying, okay, but it's not Tylenol death, okay. So we have a way to counteract. I thought this was fascinating in terms of what we were just talking about last hour with the side effect scenario. And, you know, of course, we were talking about herbs with Darren Craddock and Enterfood, and they've got lots of great herbs. But the point is dose. Dose is always the key. What is the appropriate amount? Some herbs do require a loading dose, but after you've hit that loading dose, you taper off or you know, balance out at a level that stays below the threshold. But in a case like this, somebody went over the threshold to get and achieve a desired effect, and that kept going and kept going and kept going. Eventually, the body proved the remedy. And that is the cornerstone for the homeopathic provings, where you would find, oh my gosh, they were right 200 plus years ago when they figured this out with urtica. This is what it causes. Simultaneous to that, or conversely to that, when we convert the urtica into a homeopathic medicine via serial dilution and succussion and apply it topically, locally, internally, orally, you will now counteract those very same symptoms. Even more important, perhaps, is that most people are not going to overdose on stinging nettles. Or, in fact, if you did get, you know, stung by the nettle, so to speak, if you were out in the hay fever fields and you got that on your skin and you had that irritation rash, you would do the homeopathic to counteract it. But also, if you had hives just in general, it had nothing to do with the stinging nettles, but the symptom was the same. This is what we call the law of similars. The law of similar suffering. And so it's just enough that you have similar suffering that you could take the urtica and it can counteract some of these hive situations. And I don't want to ignore the role of the liver and the excretory system to process and get out that which we took to excess. Even a good thing to excess can be problematic. So anyway, problem solved. Now they've just got to ride the storm out. At least there's no mystery and no fear associated with that. And with that, in fact, the fear should be on the side of cancer. Cancer's got another opponent that's beating it back. You see this? It's on Medical News Today. Head and neck cancer cells destroyed by grape seed extract. But guess what? Unlike chemotoxicity chemotherapy, the healthy cells are left completely unharmed. Now, according to the article, 12,000 people will die of head and neck cancer in the United States this year. Worldwide cases will exceed 500,000. This study was published in the journal Carcinogenesis, and it shows that in both cell lines and mouse models, grapeseed extract, GSE, kills head and neck squamous cell carcinoma cells while leaving healthy cells unharmed. How cool is that? Quote from Dr. Rajesh Argawai. Argawal? It's rather a dramatic effect. And so it's not a subtle thing. Cancer cells are fast-growing cells. Not only that, but they are necessarily growing fast. When conditions exist in which they can grow, when they can't grow, they die. And of course, in this case, the grapeseed extract creates those conditions. It alters the terrain, making it unfavorable for the cancer cells to grow. And in this case, the paper shows that the grapeseed extract both damages cancer cells' DNA via increased reactive oxygen species. Ooh, isn't that? Have you heard me talk about ROS? Oh, yes, you have. And stops pathways that allow repair to the cancer cells, as seen by decreased levels of the DNA repair molecules. They call that the BRCA1 and the RAD51 and DNA repair foci, BRCA1. So this is fascinating because I've talked about this in terms of silver, which I don't claim to be the cure for cancer, but I do claim it to have some oncogenic properties. In other words, damage to cancer cells. Because what? It does just what they've identified here. It increases reactive oxygen species, ROS production, among your defense cells, your immune cells. Yet there's no toxicity to the mammalian cells, whether it be mouse cells or human cells, because we have an antioxidant defense mechanism, which is why the oncologist should be put in prison for murder or attempted murder with their oncological techniques of poisoning the body
while denying patients access to antioxidant therapies that would not counteract the chemotherapy, so to speak, in terms of protecting cancer cells, but it would, however, protect the healthy cells that you want to protect. How irresponsible is it of a cancer oncologist specialist to say, no, we don't want you to take selenium during this treatment because it might counteract the chemotoxicity. You darn straight, you wanted to. It's not going to defend the cancer cells because the cancer cells are not operating in the same way with a reactive oxygen species potential increased. It has no defense mechanism against that. And look at that. As in the case of silver in the proper form we talk about, in the case of the grapeseed extract, guess what? Your cells are unharmed. Isn't that lovely? I think it's lovely. I do. And guess what? More good news for yerba mate drinkers. Pat yourself on the back, Robert Scott Bell. Yes, I've been drinking mate for years. Look at what it's doing to colon cancer cells while everybody's, scaring you silly. The colorectal surgeons want to cut everything out. Recent scientific study, and this is on Natural News, by the way, and on the other article, of course, I had linked up. It's also linked up to Medical News Today at robertscottbell.com, where you learn all the things the old media, if they actually tell you, they won't tell you exactly what they're really meaning. So here we got the meaning behind the meaning. This one's on Natural News, so you know you can count on it. A recent scientific study found that yerba mate tea induced death in human colon cancer cells. Scientists discovered that in vitro cancer cells died when exposed to the bioactive compounds present in one cup of the beverage, long valued for its medicinal properties by South American traditional healers. Now, in this case, you've heard me talk about coffee enemas, green tea enemas. I think now you now have the reason and understanding why you might even consider yerba mate delivered into the colon because of the direct impact it would have, and now proven with this peer-reviewed science, on the colon cancer cells. So great news. We see better inflammation, anti-inflammatory properties as well with the yerba mate. And instead, if you're sensitive to caffeine like I can be, and I can't drink a lot of coffee, even though I admit I like the taste, I won't drink it consistently because it will get me into that jittery state, whereas the yerba mate does not. So great news on the front for herbs and supplements, all the things that they don't want you to know can actually counteract the things that they don't want you to counteract without their permission in government. Well, we don't ask permission. And guess what? Neither does Jack Hunter, the Southern Avenger. And he's going to be stopping by momentarily to give us an update on another guy that doesn't ask permission, Dr. Congressman Ron Paul, running for president. What's the behind-the-scenes view of this next phase of the election cycle? The delegate count, the strategy. We'll get into that and a lot more that they never let Ron Paul get into, or very rarely into. We're going to talk about that with the Southern Adventure, the official campaign blogger for the Ron Paul for Presidential campaign. After this, on the Robert Scott Bell Show, stand by. We're coming back. Say thanks to our sponsors in the interim.
The Robert Scott Bell Show. Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls-Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
Since the 1920s, people around the world have been using radio frequencies to safeguard the health of themselves and their families. Through this tested technology, pioneered by Royal Raymond Rife, researchers have found that specific radio frequencies can eliminate viruses, bacteria, molds, and parasites without harming normal healthy cells. Frequency technology could help millions now suffering from various infections, even arthritis, herpes, Lyme disease, and other painful chronic conditions.
The BCX Ultra Frequency Instrument has been developed over a period of 30 years. The BCX Ultra is one of the most powerful healing tools ever. Turn ill health around. Enjoy life again. Start learning about the BCX Ultra today. Visit bioelectricsforhealth.com or call 1-800-936-6240. That's 1-800-936-6240. Call today and start the healing.
Information is so good, it requires no expiration date. The Robert Scott Bell Show.
One of the most often questions here on the Robert Scott Bell Show is, how is it that anybody is not for Ron Paul at this point? Come on, who recognizes what's going on here? Who doesn't? We even did this yesterday with Dr. Rasha Bitar. He asked the same question. How do you not see it? One guy who does see it, and he relates it all so well, dear friend of mine and Robert Scott Bell Show, his name is Jack Hunter, the Southern Avenger. He's also the official blogger for the campaign for Ron Paul for the presidency. Jack, welcome back to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Always good to be with you, Robert. How are you?
Oh, man, it's great to catch you, because I know we try to connect and you are on the go with the campaign, trying to keep up with a 76 or 70, what, 5, whatever. It's hard to keep up with an old guy.
Well, yeah, right. I like what Ron Paul said in the debate the other night when they asked him about his age. And he said he would challenge the entire field to a bike race, a mile-long bike race, and with 100-degree weather or whatever it was.
Oh, it was classic.
25-mile or whatever he said.
Yeah, in fact, yesterday I was on with another physician friend of mine who I do, you know, every week, and he's, you know, very big supporter of Ron Paul. He never was into politics before Ron Paul, in fact. And he said the same thing. This guy is a living example, you know, in your 70s to not be on any drugs. He said he was not on any medication. His list of things, if he had a, like his medical records, like they all want to present, he's like, I don't know if it'd be a page long.
Right. I can tell you, being in Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, you know, he would do two or three events, and, you know, that's just half his day, and I'd be exhausted. Here he is. He's fine. He's got double or triple that to do each day. So, you know, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I went back and re-listened to an interview I did with Ron early on, like right before the first debate in this election season. And, he says his energy's up. He's raring to go. And he's still got the energy going despite it all.
Yeah, it's really amazing. I don't know how he does it. I remember in 2008, a little bit, I got to be with the campaign in South Carolina, just being amazed by, where's Ron? Where's he at? He's just always so quick and, you know, he's just boundless energy. I don't understand it. I don't know where
fleet,
it comes from.
Fleet of foot, as they say, definitely. And he was a track star before an injury that drove him into other things. But
sure.
Anyway, yesterday on the show, Super Don and I were talking about the media suddenly falling in love with Ron Paul after the last debate. They said, "Oh my gosh, he's so funny. He's the guy that's actually speaking the truth." One of the gals in this focus group actually said something like, "Well, he's like the guy that doesn't lie to you. He tells you the truth. He's not trying to just blow smoke and get you to do something." And I thought, wow, if the chicks start loving on Ron Paul, it's all over for the establishment.
I think she said, "I don't feel like I'm dating him." And what she meant by that was, and this was a Fox focus group, that men throughout her lives, many women's lives, will say things to women to get what they want. And that's what she said she felt like when Newt Gingrich or Mitt Romney was speaking to her. But when Ron Paul spoke to her, she noticed that she thought he had integrity and was being honest. I thought that was a funny way to put it. But, you know, she's not alone amongst Americans in feeling that way. That's why you're seeing such popularity and such a surge behind Ron.
Yeah, it was really quite extraordinary. And then you've written recently also about this idea that you said it this way, I like George Washington, right? Except for his foreign policy, tying it into the modern day context of where Ron keeps coming back to this idea of a non-interventionist foreign policy and the wrong-headed way that the old media, if you will, twists his words to say he's somehow soft on defense because he wants to disengage militarily from a lot of the world and defend our borders as the Constitution directs.
Oh, that's exactly right. And you know, that title was supposed to be sort of funny, but at the same time to make people think. Because to say I like Ron Paul except on foreign policy is to say I like George Washington or Thomas Jefferson or James Madison or most of the founding fathers, except on foreign policy. And, you know, as I point out in the post, it's not the 18th or 19th century anymore. We all know that. But that doesn't discredit the genius that is our U.S. Constitution. That does not discredit or mean we should discard the wisdom of our founding fathers, which I think is timeless. I think most patriotic Americans would agree with that. What was George Washington concerned about? What did he dedicate his entire farewell address in 1796 to? He was concerned that the United States might become like the nations of Europe, constantly embroiled in perpetual wars, constantly being with entangling alliances, to use his phrase, all this sort of stuff, because he knew that the limited government republic, the constitutional republic they created, could not withstand that sort of environment. That was the concern. It wasn't that you don't go to war for your defense. Hell, they just fought against England for their own independence. And General George Washington, he's no pacifist, no isolationist, if you will. But mm-hmm. he understood, and this goes back to, you know, big democracy. Learned men understood that a state of perpetual war meant that you could not have limited government. Well, when Ron Paul talks today, he's basically expressing the same concerns that George Washington and the founding generation expressed at one time. We've got so far away from that in our politics. Most Americans are used to being their country being at war all the time. And the idea that they could imagine something different, oh, well, that's crazy. That's isolationist. Nobody's suggesting isolationism or weakness or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But there is something wrong with the country that considers normalcy a state of permanent war. And that's what we have. And it's to our detriment. We don't have the money. We certainly shouldn't sacrifice the lives to the extent that we do. Look back at the Iraq War. Was that really worth it? Do we want to do this anymore? Those are the questions that Ron Paul asked. They were the fears that George Washington had. I think it's worth pointing all that out.
Yeah, and also in the last debate, interestingly enough, in Florida, where it's a very large Cuban-American population, he had the audacity to suggest that maybe we ought to find out what's going on down there, maybe interact and trade with Cuba, that the so-called, what would you say, the limiting economic factors when they put on special sanctions and limiting access to that it actually strengthens a regime, communist or otherwise, because it unifies the people against a common enemy, whereas we traded with Vietnam after the Vietnam issue. We traded with Russia. We traded with China. We may not like their politics, but it certainly opens them up to being more freedom-oriented, at least by a little bit.
That's exactly right. Well, let us quote William F. Buckley, who also wanted to end the Cuban embargo. He said, "The only thing the Castro regime cannot withstand is capitalist intervention." And he's absolutely right. Look, the reason we have the Cuban embargo to this day is because politicians in each election want to go down there and placate some of the Cubans who still think that's a good idea. But the numbers show us, the polls, that the younger Cubans down there are far more open to us having trade relations with Cuba, precisely because they understand that it will hurt Castro. You know, anytime you get to compare socialism to capitalism, capitalism's going to win every time. Could you imagine if we had an embargo on Vietnam this whole time, and instead they weren't one of our best trading partners? Same thing with China. When Nixon opened up trade to China, it's been for the better. That's the argument. The idea that Ron Paul somehow on the wrong side of that is absurd. William F. Buckley wanted to end the Cuban embargo. Whatever you think of my former governor of South Carolina, Mark Sanford, he was a conservative fiscal Republican who wanted to end the embargo. This is nothing new on the right, but more people do need to think about it, and kudos to Congressman Paul for bringing it up. The Cuban embargo was a Cold War relic. It didn't work to begin with. The idea that it should stay there forever is completely absurd if we're going to use logic or rationale.
Well, and if you utilize our experience in the past years of trading with nations that we so-called didn't like because we didn't like their government or form of government, look at the fact, if you will, what is the result of all these years of embargo against Cuba? Are they not still a communist nation, backwater, and they haven't really progressed much? So how would you point to that as saying it's been a successful kind of campaign?
When you put on sanctions, when you do these sort of embargoes, it thinks all you do is hurt the people of that country. We saw it with Saddam Hussein throughout the 90s, Bill Clinton's embargoes or sanctions or whatever you want to call it, where mm-hmm. people couldn't get food and medicine and whatnot. Saddam Hussein doesn't care about human life. He didn't care about his own people. He sat there pretty in his palace and was completely fine and let everybody else suffer. Then the same thing with Castro. It's the same thing anytime you use sanctions. It is much better to have trade and to let these people enjoy enjoy the wonders of capitalism. And socialism can't compete with that. The conservative Republicans, supposedly conservatives, can't understand that. It just boggles my mind.
Well, and they also don't understand the definition of isolationism, because what would be engaging
in
trade?
They're isolationists. Yeah. The people who want the embargo are isolationists.
That's the point, isn't it? I mean, that's the thing here in contemporary U.S. time, looking at Iran, which is much further afield than the 90 miles off of Key West that Cuba is, which really doesn't face, you know, let's say we don't face a threat from invasion from Cuba. However, we don't face one from Iran either, and yet they want to isolate Iran and strengthen the regime by their behavior of looking for more sanctions and embargoes.
And that's exactly right. And you'll notice, Robert, all this takes us back to what George Washington was worried about. A state of perpetual war, where you're trying to make enemies needlessly and, you know, sort of pushing in that direction. What does that leave us with? Well, we've got a $15 trillion debt that this president wants to take $16 trillion. We knew the war in Iraq was about $4 trillion. So we're going to do another one of those in Iran. Mitt Romney and Newt Gingrich seem to think that's hunky-dory. We know Rick Santorum thinks that's a great idea. How are we going to afford that? And at the end of it, we're going to have a situation like the Iraq war. We look back, wow, was that really worth it? What did we get out of it? $4 trillion more in debt, thousands of American soldiers, not to mention the civilian casualties there, and an empowered Iran. Oh, great. Yeah, let's apply a cost-benefit analysis. How about that, my fellow conservatives? I think that's what you should do
when you
look at anything. We don't do that to our foreign policy. And to the degree that we don't, we'll never be able to get a hold of our national debt under control, and we'll never have a wiser foreign policy, which is what we should want.
Yeah, and in terms of when we speak of capitalism, at least in terms as Ron Paul refers to it, it's not the crony capitalism, the phony capitalism that has taken hold in both Republican and Democrat administrations, where there's corporatism, corporate welfare. What we're talking about is true free markets, where there is real competition for genuine products, goods, and services in a marketplace uncovered so much by government regulation and the force of government to prohibit. For instance, as I've talked to Congressman Paul many times over the years about the issue of health freedom, the access to natural remedies that are being prohibited by the government at this point.
That's exactly right, and you've done a great job of pointing out how the FDA sort of rigs the system so the corporations benefit. And not only did the small guy not benefit, but those people out there who need genuine help and certain types of medicines don't receive them because the corporations don't want that profit incentive to be there because they lose out. They want to control the whole game. Am I describing it correctly?
Yeah, exactly. And now, big controversy, of course, when Congressman Paul says, hey, look, the Constitution doesn't afford us on the federal level any enumerated powers to regulate, for instance, a plant like cannabis that was basically related to hemp, which the Constitution, Declaration of Independence were written on. And now suddenly they're saying, well, we're getting a lot of backlash on our perspective on this and overriding the states that want to legalize it, or if you will, for medicinal uses. But now we're going to say, okay, we're changing our mind here. We're going to let the FDA regulate it, and we're going to give certain corporations, again, pharmaceutical corporations, access to it, and we're not going to let you grow your own.
And that's, once again, where in Article 1, Section 8 should we have the FDA doing that? Hell, where's the FDA?
Yeah.
In Article 1, Section 8, we could go that route. It's complete insanity. And, you know, it's funny. People will attack Ron Paul because he thinks the federal war on drugs was a failure, as it is, just like Prohibition was. Once again, this is nothing new in conservative circles either. In 1995, the cover of National Review is the federal war on drugs, the war on drugs lost. And Bill Buckley took a stance and said the war on drugs is lost. Milton Friedman believed that his entire life, as long as there was a war on drugs. Did people think Bill Buckley and Milton Friedman aren't conservative? Now, you see what I'm getting at. This is completely insane. If anything is a failure, it's the federal war on drugs. That does not mean you legalize drugs. That means the federal government is out of it, and the states can do whatever they like. If they want medicinal marijuana in California, fine. If they don't want any of that stuff in South Carolina, that might not be my opinion on it, mm-hmm. but, you know, that's how our system's set up. That's federalism.
Yes.
And, you know, we don't have federal laws against alcohol. We did it one time. We had prohibition. It was a disaster. Well, we have the disaster that is the federal war on drugs today.
Well, since you brought up South Carolina, I want to take a quick break. We'll be back with Jack Hunter, the Southern Avenger, official blogger for the campaign of Ron Paul for the presidency. I want to ask him about the debate that occurred in South Carolina. Still some controversy swirling around there, and we'll get some direct perspective, maybe an interventionist domestic policy perspective on what happened there. So stand by. We've got Jack Hunter continuing with us on the Robert Scott Bell Show after this.
Pharmacological research from universities all over the world have proven that papaya supplements have tremendous health benefits. At the One Stop Health Shop, that's one-stop-health-shop.com, you'll find our international bestseller, Papaya Leaf Extract. Its natural probiotic formula supports your white blood cells, reduces oxidative stress, and strengthens your immune system. Papaya is one of the richest sources of antioxidants in the world and up to 20 times more powerful than vitamin E. One Stop Health Shop carries a large fermented papaya product selection. Our supplements are all natural, certified organic, GMO-free, and made right here in Australia. But they are shipped to you anywhere in the world free of charge. Take advantage of our limited time down under prices and order now. Don't wait. Visit the One Stop Health Shop. That's one-stop-health-shop.com for all your nutraceutical needs and get free shipping on all products ordered. one-stop-health-shop.com.
Hey there, this is Mike. Got a couple of things you may want to check out. Did you know about the website counterthink.com? These are some really hilarious, freedom-oriented, health-oriented, even political cartoons that you got to check out. counterthink.com. And if you want to know what's in your food, go check out foodinvestigations.com, where you've got a bunch of free mini documentaries, little videos there that you can watch that will show you what's in your food and what's not in your food. We talk about Total Blueberry Pomegranate Cereal made by General Mills. Did you know it has no blueberries in it and no pomegranates? We got the video right there on foodinvestigations.com. And if you really want to know what's in your food, your medicine, your personal care products, and so on, head over to naturalnews.com. We're publishing about 12 articles a day now, everything from healing superfoods to the dangerous chemicals in your products, foods, and medicines. Naturalnews.com. Check it out.
With natural and man-made disasters and economic turmoil, if we don't get well prepared, we will most certainly regret it. Good readiness must include storage of high-quality food that will build us up rather than tear us down. Much of the storable food available is full of bad fats, salt, sugar, nutrient-poor refined foods, and even MSG. In response, EnerHealth Botanicals has created our 40-day and 40-night 100% organic preparedness pail. It's GMO-free and has a 10 to 20-year shelf life if stored at 60 degrees or less. Some of the items need cooking, some can be eaten dry, while some can be soaked and sprouted. These are selling out fast at third the price of storable food packages. Call us at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. Or go to enerfood.com, E-N-E-R-F-O-O-D.com. 866-762-9238. Or go to E-N-E-R-F-O-O-D.com.
Making sense out of medical propaganda. Here's Robert.
We continue on with Jack Hunter. I've got the links up to his blogs at the Paul-litical ticker, based on Ron Paul there at ronpaul2012.com. You can check him out at the robertscottbell.com. I've got all the links up there as well. Southern Adventure continues. And Jack, as a guy who's been in South Carolina for a long time, we did a show, Super Don and I covered it, after the debate in South Carolina, where it appeared that the audience there actually booed the Golden Rule as Ron Paul was responding to an issue on foreign policy. I want you to set the record straight, crooked, or whatever. What did you see on the ground there at the debate?
I saw exactly what they saw. Ron Paul was trying to say we should apply the Golden Rule to foreign policy. Now, whatever you think about that, let's say you completely disagree with Ron Paul on that subject and even what he said. I don't think it's a good idea to ever boo the Golden Rule. I don't understand what context that could possibly be a good idea, especially in South Carolina where much of the audience are evangelical Christians. That was a little embarrassing for me as a South Carolinian, but, you know, these things happen, the heat of the debate, things get crazy. I mean, you're seeing self-described Tea Partiers right now supporting a guy who not only endorsed TARP but said he would do it again and was for the individual mandate. And my recollection of the Tea Party in 2009 and 2010 was if you were for TARP, you were out on your ass. Ask Bob Bennett over there in Utah. But,
right,
you know, I guess things get kind of wacky during the campaign season.
Well, it did. And, of course, what they cheered were, you know, like, well, what would you do, Newt? Kill them. Kill them all. It was like amazing, the bloodlust that I saw there. I thought I was watching like blood sport or rollerball there in South Carolina.
George Washington would say Newt Gingrich. I like Newt Gingrich, except on his foreign policy. The exact same opposite.
Yeah, and then
that guy's crazy.
And then Mitt Romney chimes in. I like what Newt said. Yeah, kill him, kill him. And it's like, good Lord, can you speak to the adults in the room? And of course, they were, you know, really, they were like raw red meat, you know, just and it's like, look, where are the adults in this context? Now, this is what I see of the transition that happened with this love fest.
Pro-lifers too, by the way.
Yeah, pro-life, of course. Life. Kill them all. Well, yeah, never mind the cognitive dissonance on that. But with all of the love fest recently from MSNBC and Fox and a little of CNN because of the last debate, they say he's funny. We like him. The group said, oh, yeah, I would date him. Well, no, it's not like I would date. You know how they're. but what is the shift? What is the transition? Is it now a strategy on their part, or are there genuine, like, people are opening up?
I think people are sort of tired of the campaign season and the mudslinging and all the craziness. And when you've got two candidates, Gingrich and Romney, who have been all over the place on the issues on the liberal side for as much as they've been on the other side, if not more, and who will say any lie to get ahead and say anything and just all this crazy nonsense. And you see Ron Paul up there, who's been saying the same things, will not stoop to their level, and sort of gets fed up with some of the questions he was asked and turning around on him in that debate the other night that everybody said he did such a good job and was so funny. I think people are attracted to that. And they like that sort of appeal. They want to be talked to like adults. They want somebody who's going to tell them exactly what's going on, a doctor who's going to give them a prescription, if you will, instead of Mitt Romney and Newt Gingrich. It's the same old, same old. I think that's what people are attracted to. You saw in that Fox Focus group that we were talking about earlier, the show The Five, where one of the panelists, whose name escapes me right now, recently said that, you know, when Americans see Ron Paul on that debate stage, they see themselves, and that he's just as fed up with the folly of it all as the average American. And I think that rings true. I think that holds a lot of water.
Well, and now in terms of some of the bigger, let's say, multi-trillionaires chiming in on this stuff, you had GE's Jack Welch and wife doing the rounds the last couple of days. And, you know, they're saying, well, when Ron Paul drops out, when he leaves, we better treat him nicely. And on and on. It's like, at the same time, his wife comes up and says, well, by the way, our four sons are all for Ron Paul. And I'm thinking, this is an interesting thing where we're seeing a generational shift, and the old folks are still not getting it. No, they're not going to suddenly convert to Romneyites or Newt Gingrichites.
That's exactly right. The generational shift is one of the most exciting things about this campaign to me. You know the old saying, I fear for the future when older people look at the next generation? Well, I kind of have the exact opposite attitude. When you look at Iowa, 50% of the people who voted all voted for Ron Paul. When you look at New Hampshire, 50% of the people under 30. When you look at New Hampshire, and 48% of the people under 30 all voted for Ron Paul. And you had similar numbers in South Carolina. And these are mostly registered Republicans. There are some independents and Democrats, but mostly registered Republicans, you're seeing a generational shift. You know, the Tea Party gets out there, we cut spending, we want to do this. And in 2009, 2010, well, many of them were serious about it. Here we are heading into 2012, and many of them don't seem serious about it. I mean, if you want to cut spending and you support Newt Gingrich, well, he called Ron Paul's $1 trillion in cuts a non-starter. Ron just called it ludicrous. And the young people are looking at the issues first, the philosophy. We want to cut spending. We're scared of the national debt. We know entitlements are not going to be there for us. And they see answers in Ron Paul. If you're just about being a Republican in the identity sense, I'm a Republican, I don't like Democrats, well, Newt Gingrich or Mitt Romney will suit you just fine. We did that with George W. Bush. What did we get? The biggest big government president in history at that time. Now Obama surpassed him. Does anybody think out there, honestly, that Mitt Romney or Newt Gingrich could accomplish what even Ronald Reagan didn't? Ronald Reagan, at the end of his tenure, government was bigger and we spent more money. Best president of my lifetime, but that was the case at the end of his tenure. Do you think that Mitt Romney or Newt Gingrich, who aren't even telling us during the campaign season when politicians are supposed to be lying, they're not telling us they're going to cut anything. They call Ron Paul's cuts crazy. We can't do that. Do you think once they get in office that this national debt's going to stay even just where it is, or is it going to keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger? The younger people, many of the people who support Paul, see those distinctions, see those lines, and they support Ron Paul accordingly. I don't think many of their elders necessarily do. They're just caught up in the horse race, the tit for tat, the shadow boxing, if you will.
Well, that's why
who aren't much better than their Democratic opponents.
No, you're right, Jack, and that's why I had Tom Woods. We were on talking about Operation Grandma last week. You know, getting all of us young folks and middle aged folks to talk to our elders about it, and there are some success stories happening out there, and it's a human experience in communication that can
bypass, let's say, the elder generation's reliance upon that old media for their information and their belief system. See, they're being programmed, whereas the young people are starting to reject the program.
Well, that's right. You know, traditional American conservatism, as defined by guys like Barry Goldwater and Ronald Reagan, was opposition to sort of New Deal America, this big entitlement slash nanny state, that whole idea. And let's just say the younger generation doesn't see that being maintained. They don't expect to see Social Security and Medicare. You know, American greatness to them is the power of their purse. Mm-hmm. You know, Steve Jobs, that's, you know, stuff like that, not necessarily being all around the world at the same time, you know, which might have been the mentality after World War II and during that era. You see what I'm getting at. The Cold War's over.
Yeah.
So many of the younger people, younger Americans, middle-aged Americans, have a different perspective than many of their elders, and I think that translates politically into how they view people like Ron Paul and how they view conventional Republicans like Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney.
Well, there was one thing, Jack, that I in the last debate I think was just brilliant, where Ron was going back at Gingrich on the whole lot claims that they balanced the budget when he was speaker,
right,
et cetera. And I thought it was absolutely brilliant. And Ron says, I think, you know, listen, I was looking back at that. It's not that you guys just basically stole from the Social Security thing. And then Gingrich had to admit, well, yeah, you're right, Ron, but that was the rules. I was just using the rules, right? He starts backing off and then goes into another statement of agreement with Ron as if they all were now suddenly going, yes, we're Ron Paul-aholics too.
That's right, and Ron Paul supporters and Ron Paul himself want to throw out all those stupid rules that don't mean anything. You didn't balance or cut anything, Newt, and that's the point of what he said to Newt. That's what people are saying. Look, when they talk about Ron Paul wants to gut the military, what they're talking about is decreasing the rate of increase. That's what liberals have done to conservatives from here to Timbuktu on education spending and welfare spending. You know, if we want to decrease the rate of increase, then somehow that's cutting and throwing poor people out on the streets. Ron Paul's budget puts America back military-wise, with a budget that's about the size of what we had in 2005. That's it. That shows you how much President Obama has spent. Him cutting $1 trillion, part of that takes us back to a 2005 military budget. I don't know many conservatives that thought President Bush's 2005 military budget was some sort of gutting of the military or too weak. Do you remember anybody having this conversation, Robert? I don't.
Good Lord, it was still bigger than all the other military forces in the world.
That's exactly right. That's exactly what Ron wants to do. That's what his son, Senator Rand Paul, has wanted to do. And that's what so many so-called conservatives call gutting the military. You want to know why we have a $15 trillion national debt? You look at a Republican Party that calls Ron and Rand Paul crazy for wanting to take us back to 2005 military levels.
Hmm. Yeah, when you put it in that perspective, suddenly you go, well, maybe we can get past the rhetoric here. And this is...
It's, you know, Senator Rand Paul always says that those on the left are going to have to understand we can't have this massive welfare state, and those on the right are going to have to understand we can't have this massive warfare state. We're going to have the strongest national defense in the world, but we're going to question much of what we're doing. And if you don't agree with both halves of those equations, say goodbye to the national debt. It's going to keep getting higher and higher and higher, and we will go the way of Greece. And it will be a bipartisan effort to take us there.
Well, and in terms of the so-called liberals out there in the media, there's a guy named Bill Maher who does his show on HBO. And he
right.
basically said, Ron Paul's got some gonads. Let's just say it in the way he didn't say it that way. But
right.
at the same time, he was giving him his props for speaking truth to power, talking about so many things honestly and truthfully, as they're all giving him his props, saying, okay, whatever, he's not a liar. But what about this monetary thing? He comes back and he says, oh, the gold standard's crazy, and Ron Paul predicted hyperinflation. That hasn't happened yet. The young people get it historically. What is it about Maher and other liberals in media that they don't get the monetary policy issue yet?
Well, and they also look at, you know, hell, Newt Gingrich does too. They look at government as being activist and involved in our daily lives. They look to government for solutions. The idea of limiting it, the idea of going to a gold standard and having an actual market is anathema to them. You know, Ron's talk about hard money and getting back to some sort of stable economy based on real numbers and real fiscal reality. A guy like Bill Maher or any conventional liberal, they can't wrap their head around that. Their philosophy is FDR and the New Deal and the Great Society and that sort of thing. Ron's the antithesis of that. Look, Newt Gingrich brags about how much he loves FDR and, you know, has a government program for everything. he's a Republican version of what liberals have always been. I don't know what to tell you, Robert. It's just, you know, there's a real strict divide, an important distinction to make between true limited government conservatives and people who think that the government should basically be the solution to everything. I'm talking about those in the Republican and Democratic Party.
Right.
Bill Maher and Newt Gingrich aren't as far apart as they think in their fiscal thinking, quite frankly. They just might want to do different things with our money.
It's hard for me to differentiate the candidates. I keep wanting to say Mitt Gingrich or, you know, Newt Romney. And it just is natural to do so. But even Gingrich, who Ron Paul has acknowledged is starting to talk more favorably about gold, for instance, in the Federal Reserve, still doesn't really get the concept. And I think that also by demagoguing the issue by saying, oh, he just wants to restrict it overnight to gold and eliminate the Fed overnight, that isn't either Ron Paul's position. He's talked about competition, allowing the free market to decide what is money and the people making the decision. Of course, we know the inevitable result of that, but it's quite different than saying he wants to throw out the Fed tomorrow and let chaos ensue for a little while.
Well, that's exactly right. And what's considered radical today used to be conventional conservative thinking. You know, Ron always makes the point that Ronald Reagan told him no nation that goes off the gold standard will ever survive. And that used to be conventional conservative thinking, that the gold standard was a good idea. Look at the Department of Education. As late as 2000, it was in the Republican platform that we should abolish the Department of Education. I remember Bob Dole, of all people, campaigning on it in 1996. Who's suggesting that today? Ron Paul is, and who else? Ronald Reagan believed that. It was in his platform. That's another thing. Mitt Romney and Newt Gingrich probably think that's crazy, too. But we keep going on and on and on. And, you know, I could see in 20 or 30 years, Republicans getting up there and saying, boy, Obamacare is a great thing, and I'm going to protect it. And that's,
that's how it happens.
Keeps happening. It's terrible.
So as we're wrapping up here, a couple of more minutes with Jack Hunter, the Southern Avenger, official campaign blogger for the Ron Paul for President. The question I have on strategy, this is seemingly, we know that the so-called mainstream old polluted media is stacked against Ron Paul because they're the establishment. We know that here. That's not a mystery to us. But is there a roadmap through the gathering of delegates, a brokered convention, other concepts, things that might happen that you can reveal to the audience here on the Robert Scott Bell Show?
Absolutely. The strategy from the beginning has been to collect as many delegates as possible. That's why we're not doing much in Florida. If you don't win the whole thing, you don't get anything. We're poised to do very well in Maine. We're poised to do very well in Nevada and many other states, particularly the caucus states. As we keep accumulating those, we're going to have some influence, and we could get the nomination. There's a path to the nomination there. As Ron Paul 2012 senior advisor Doug Weed says, there is no path to the nomination without Ron Paul and his supporters, whether it's Ron Paul or anybody else. You need that to happen. It's a mathematical reality. So, we're going to keep pushing forward. We're very encouraged by what's happened so far, and we're going to have, you know, the opportunity for things only to get better.
Well, that's great. Jack Hunter, the Southern Avenger, always an open door policy for him. Not that he's standing long enough to stop by any doors lately. And we really appreciate all that you're doing to help out Congressman and Dr. Ron Paul get that so-called prize. And the prize is liberty. It's not the power. He's not after the power. He's after restoring liberty. And that's what we're all about here.
That's exactly right. And it's always good to be with you, Robert. Keep up good fight.
Always great to have Jack Hunter on board. Remember, March 31st, 2012, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. 10th Amendment Center, Nullify Now. Tom Woods and I, maybe Jack Hunter will be there. We'll see if we can get the Southern Avenger there as well. We're back to wrap it up. Say thanks to our sponsors. You're listening to the United States and World of Health Talk Radio. Go to robertscottbell.com for all the links. We'll be right back.
We haven't followed the Constitution, and that's what we ought to be doing. The system that we have today is ripping off the middle class and the poor. Can you imagine how great a nation we'd have if we didn't have the Federal Reserve System printing all this money?
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. ChooseToBeHealthy.com features the Rolls-Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st-century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works. And works very well.
So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
With natural and man-made disasters and economic turmoil, if we don't get well prepared, we will most certainly regret it. Good readiness must include storage of high-quality food that will build us up rather than tear us down. Much of the storable food available is full of bad fats, salt, sugar, nutrient-poor refined foods, and even MSG. In response, EnerHealth Botanicals has created our 40-day and 40-night 100% organic preparedness pail. It's GMO-free and has a 10 to 20-year shelf life if stored at 60 degrees or less. Some of the items need cooking, some can be eaten dry, while some can be soaked and sprouted. These are selling out fast at third the price of storable food packages. Call us at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. Or go to enerfood.com, E-N-E-R-F-O-O-D.com. 866-762-9238. Or go to E-N-E-R-F-O-O-D.com.
In the health world through the power of radio. It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Heads up from a Facebook friend in Virginia. Tara, thank you for this. By the way, it's in Virginia. Those of you, my listeners, in Virginia. By the way, a state that Santorum and Gingrich are not even on the ballot. Only Romney and Ron Paul, of course. And we've got news for you on the nutrition front, because HB 345 that would enable only American Dietetics Association members to give nutrition-related advice. These are like dietitians that believe aspartame is better than sugar. Oh, my gosh. This is what you're going to do in Virginia? All right. She asked if you can, Tara asked if I can get the word out. All right, Virginia listeners, heads up here. You can take action by making phone calls, sending emails, attending the hearing. It is today. It is today. And there are delegates listed. I put them in the show notes just for you if you want to contact any of these yahoos that are going to support it. Hearing scheduled for today at 5 p.m. So you still have time if you're listening to this before 5 p.m. Eastern time. Thank you, Tara, for that heads up. Don't let the dunderheads of the ADA dictate and monopolize the information on nutrition, because they wouldn't know nutrition if it rose up out of a pill bottle and bit them on the aspirin. All right? That's what I'm saying here. Let's see, what else did I forget to cover today? Oh, another Facebook request. This one comes from Craig. He says, Robert, do you know of any advice for helping cure TB? Extrapulmonary TB is what his friend has. And my goodness, I mean, TB, known as the consumption, it still kills more people than any other infection on the planet every year. And it is a disease, the consumption, as it was known, of abject poverty by and large. It is a disease of abject deficiency. I mean, such depletion of the immune system. This is not an infection that can infect, so to speak, a healthy person. They would never succumb to this with basic levels of nutrition. I mean, so I don't know, Craig, who this friend is, but extrapulmonary TB. I mean, now you're talking about going beyond the lungs and the mycobacterium. For me, I would, you know, if I see this in a certain area of the body, I would want to inject silver hydrosol directly into it. I'm not telling you to do it. I mean, that's not my role to do. But anything that would knock down the infection immediately to save the person, but then you've got the debris of the battle, so to speak, the dead bodies floating around, and in somebody with TB, their liver, their excretory organs are already so compromised, as evidenced by the terrain, that would allow the TB mycobacterium to even be alive, much less thriving in the body. I mean, this is not light and mild scenario here, but when they say TB is so dangerous, it is if you are weak and deficient and depleted. So what has your friend been doing, Craig? I don't know. But silver is critical. Selenium is critical. Detoxification is critical. I mean, there are a whole host of things that need to be done, and it's not just one thing. What is the most critical crisis to get you out of? If it is the infectious state, go after it with everything you got to support immune function. As I've said so many times before, silver is an incredibly potent, if you will, biocidal. It's not even the right way to say it. It's not even an antibiotic. It's antimicrobial. If you have the active state, it can eradicate, stop infectious processes from occurring while healing tissue. So for me, as if I was into modern medicine and I had the capacity to do intravenous and all, I would. That's just me. But I'm not doing that. I'm not in that state. I'm a homeopath. Would I give phosphorus? Yes, I would give homeopathic phosphorus. Abso-freaking-lutely. But there's so much more. It's so much more complicated than just that. But for whatever it's worth, there's a couple of ideas for you to go by, and I hope he gets under the care of someone like a naturopathic doctor or an MDDO who actually understands holistic medicine and how to support recovery, immune recovery, in a case like this where the immune system is basically not there anymore. You know, it just occurred to me as I'm talking about TB, and I remember learning about it when I was a kid or, you know, younger years, even high school, how it was like a scary thing. They gave you a TB test, and oh my gosh, you're going to die if this thing tests positive. And the perception of these diseases was different for me then, as it probably was for you then too. Perhaps it still is a very frightening thing, much like when I talk about AIDS. When we recognize that it's a terrain disease, it's a deficiency disease, it's a toxicity disease, it's not has nothing to do with a phantom retrovirus that they haven't detected or caught or found in the act of doing anything, you begin to look at disease differently. And I think one of the biggest things for me was learning about the difference between the law of the terrain, learning about Antoine Béchamp, learning about Claude Bernard, these, you know, historical figures that are extraordinary in the annals of scientific history, yet overlooked by the establishment in terms of giving all the credence to Louis Pasteur because he was good friends with the emperor, and the adoption of the germ theory. It puts us in a state of fear. How do you look at illness, right? Every infectious disease could potentially kill you. Like this person that came to me, concerned about the skin thing. What's happening? Wasn't panicking because basically knew about the law of the terrain. So we were able to calmly go through this, whereas many people are designed to absolutely freak out at the first sign of a symptom, right? My fever, oh, I've got 101. Run, get me to the doctor. You know, and of course the drugs, et cetera, do all the things. But perception of illness. And in fact, there's an interesting thing. Another thing on medical news today we found, in fact, talks about this very thing. Patients' perceptions of illness makes a difference. So if you don't know, if you are, you really believe the lies and the BS of the doctor and profession, every little thing could freak you out and cause your illness to be 10 times worse than it really is. And of course, that reality is compounded by the fear. So many different factors come together, according to this article, to influence the course of our illness. Stress, you know, even cancer. Once you realize the things we know here about cancer, it will not frighten you in the same way. It should at least cause you to stand up at attention and go, wait a second, what am I missing here? What have I been doing wrong? But in the February issue of Current Directions in Psychological Science, a journal of the Association for Psychological Science, Keith Petrie of the University of Auckland, the Kiwi that he is, and John Weinman of the Institute of Psychiatry at King's College review the existing literature on patients' perceptions of illnesses. And the authors found that the people's illnesses' perceptions bear a direct relationship to several important health outcomes, including their level of functioning and ability, utilization of healthcare, adherence to treatment plans laid out by healthcare professionals, and even overall mortality. And that's the one I want to nail, the overall mortality rate. Because remember, the doctors are like the modern-day witch doctors of old with the death stick. You know, pointing the death stick, everybody believes that in 3 days you're dead, and oh my gosh, you're dead. Your very beliefs impact on that. So what you believe about illness, if you believe the lies of the pharmaceutical industrial complex and the minion doctors that represent them through licensure, through all of these things, then every illness diagnosis label that is given takes on 10 times more significance in a worse or negative kind of context. You're disempowered. You're victimized by it. And so I would encourage you all to read. There was another great thing Tom Woods did the other day. I'll see if I can link that up in today's notes. It was great. It was like somebody said, Tom, why don't you just get, I'm stuck here. I'm arguing on Facebook about Austrian economics and Ron Paul, and I'm just stuck because some Marxist is on with me, and he's just out-dueling me because this guy's really well-read on Karl Marx. And Tom was like, well, you know, I could do that. I could spend my time just counteracting one Facebook argument, or I could say, hey, why don't you read this and this book and this book on Austria, read Nullification. Hey, read Rollback as well. You know, read the text that are there that gives you the information so that you can go out and then communicate to others. And don't try to engage in debate with people until you're ready, unless, you know, you want to learn from the debate loss. And that might be your goal. So the point I'm making here that Tom Woods brings up, and I'll make sure we get that on the link up on today's blog notes at robertscottbell.com. The thing I want you to recognize is that the hard-won information, knowledge, wisdom, whatever you want to call it, that we have here on the Robert Scott Bell Show is due to a lot of reading, yes, but even more so than that, applying anything that I read into real life, applying it in my own life and healing, helping others to heal, do the same, to where we can walk and talk with a posture that when you hear me speak about illnesses, it's like, even if you don't believe me, you know I'm speaking with the conviction of my experience, so you're going to stand up, your ears are going to go, wait a second, there's something more. He's not just blowing smoke. You hear it. I know. People tell me this all the time. When you talked about AIDS, I thought it was the craziest thing I ever heard, but there was something in your voice that made me sit up and listen and say, wait a sec, maybe there's more to this story than I've been told. Now, I'm not bestowing on my voice or power anything more than anybody else would have from speaking from truth, from speaking from wisdom, from knowledge, from experience. And when somebody does that, you know it's more than just, oh, I read it in a book somewhere, and therefore I'm parroting what somebody else has told me. And I guess that's the difference in encouraging you to do the same or greater than I have done in my healing and helping others to do the same, should that be your calling in life. And that is the freedom which we are given here on this planet while we inhabit it. And I would encourage you to find out what that passion, that mission is of yours, and inspire others to do the same or greater than you can or have, so that others will not look back like our children and perhaps spit on our graves because we didn't stand up in the face of the greatest threat to liberty that has ever been known or experienced, at least in these United States, since their inception. There have been a lot of them. And that this election matters. That's why we do the political healing that we do. That's why I wanted Jack Hunter on here today to give you some more perspective on some things that the old media will not allow to be revealed. Thanks as well to Darren Craddock, Enter Foods. Please get plugged in, especially that 40-day, 40-night preparedness pail pack, because the price going up on that. They're at 866-762-9238, 866-762-9238. Thank you to Super Don as well for making us sound so good. And if you have any ideas for topics, questions, guests, whatever, 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355. Remember this every day. I remind you. Why? Because it's the God's honest truth that the power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.